Welcome to Main Street Banking, a podcast for community bankers brought to you by the Barrett School of Banking and ICBA Securities. My name is Byron Earnhardt, and I'm the programming director at Barrett. It is our mission here to serve the community banking industry with information that is informative, relevant, and hopefully we'll have a little fun along the way. So, from Memphis, Tennessee, home of banking, blues, and barbecue, welcome to our little corner of the community banking world. And we hope that we can make your bank, your staff, or maybe just even your day a better one. Okay, welcome back to the podcast. Well, believe it or not, we're rounding third, about to slide into home on this podcast series. I wanted to thank y'all for the nice response on last week's episode. This will likely be the last episode in the superhero community banking series that's directly tied to a chapter in The Art of War. Sun Tzu has two more chapters in his book, but they're on using spies and using firebombs. Well, I mean, that's tough to recreate in community banking and still stay within the confines of banking regulations and, well, the law. But there are some good basic ideas in both of them that do nicely summarize the overall message. So if you're reading along, go ahead and finish the book. It's really good. Just please don't go around setting firebombs or hiring spies inside your competition. Just please don't do that. I'd like to come out right now and say that Main Street Banking is definitely anti-firebombing. So now that that's been established, Chapter 11 is really a continuation of Chapter 10's discussion of the ground, the army, or for us, the markets that we find ourselves. So for us, today we are discussing in more detail how to move around in these different types of markets and how to lead our teams within those markets. I was in a Zoom meeting this week about a content partnership we're working on here at Barrett, and I realized this very point. It's one thing for management to know what to do. It's one thing to have a good plan, and you need one, and to have identified your competition's weaknesses. You have to. But if it's not sold downstream, to the front lines, to the back offices, it's just never going to work. Now, how many of us have seen really good ideas fail miserably when it came time to execute them? If you're driving, please don't raise your hand. Please keep both hands on the wheel. And Sue speaks to this directly. Quote, carefully study the well-being of your men and not overtax them. Concentrate your strength. Keep your army continually on the move and devise unfathomable plans. End quote. Later he says, quote, prohibit the taking of omens and do away with superstitious doubts. End quote. Now, why would I mention that last quote? I mean, really, how many bankers are out there doing rain dances and using voodoo to gain success? I don't know, I may know some ag lenders who would do some brain dances, but the point still is there. Remember that this is an ancient military text. The use of superstitions and omens is very common. Sue is saying here, don't be cliche. Don't do what everyone else is doing if it doesn't work for them. Take care of the well-being of your team, keep them moving forward, keep them following you, but don't be cliche or silly. Remember the five constant factors: culture, macroeconomic environment, our markets, our leadership, our operations. Culture equates to what Sue calls the moral law, and it's the moral law, Sue argues, that causes soldiers in the field to willingly die for their commanders. Again, we are not out to sacrifice bankers' lives in the name of strategic advantage, but we are looking to inspire people to not just follow our plans as leaders, but to embrace the strategy themselves so much that it motivates their actions independent of our having to force it on them. Make sense? Notice what Sue says in moving around different types of ground. Quote, I would inspire my men with a unity of purpose. Quote, I would see that there is a close connection between all parts of my army. Quote, I would consolidate my alliances. He even beautifully summarizes the entire idea of strategic movements in our markets. Again, here he calls ground. Quote, to muster his host and to bring it into danger, this may be termed the business of the general. The different measures suited to the varieties of grounds, and for us that's markets, the expediency of aggressive or defensive tactics, and the fundamental laws of human nature. These are things that must be certainly studied. I emphasize that at the end there. Getting the team to move into areas that are not comfortable, to do different things, try new ideas, that's the business of the superhero community banker. How is that done? Study the tactics that are required, and be that understanding fintech or a new product launch or a new regulation, some new organizational structure, whatever it may be, and understand the human nature side of things as well. Success is dependent on studying and knowing both. It requires us using both our right and left side of our brains. It requires a holistic view of your bank and or your team, top to bottom, bottom to top. At that point, once we get that and implement that into our culture and in our actions, then the next steps and the what to do's and the how to do it's become obvious. And we've said this before, but it bears repeating now. When it's obvious what the next step is, strike fast and hard. No half measures. Go big or go home. Sue has many great points in this chapter on that one central message. Keep your competition's eyes on where you are and what you are doing and not on implementing their own plans. He makes the statement that we should overawe the competition. I love that word, overawe. I thought it was a made-up word before I looked it up, and the definition is even better. Oxford Dictionary defines overawe as, quote, to impress someone so much that they become silent or inhibited. And that's what success looks like over your competition. And that's whatever form your competition may take. You've overpowered them so much that they are struck silent in awe of your team. And like we've said before, it all stems from this holistic view of your team, right and left brained, and a careful objective strategy. Now that's probably a good place to end the episode, but Sue makes another really great point that, quite frankly, I couldn't really place real smooth. It's not long enough for an entire episode, but it kind of has to be squeezed in here. And that's about alliances and local guides. And it's a great metaphor for what I'm seeing regarding fintechs and community banks. To quote Sue, quote, we cannot enter into alliance with neighboring princes until we are acquainted with their designs. We are not fit to lead an army on the march unless we are familiar with the face of the country, its mountains and forests, its pitfalls and precipices, its marshes and swamps. We shall be unable to turn natural advantages to account unless we make use of local guides. Now, first, there's a great deal of truth in that today for every community bank. Be local, hire local, develop local. Yeah, I think we all understand that application of this message in community banking. It's the foundation of who we are. But what I would point you towards is the idea of alliances. Think fintechs here too. We cannot take advantage of the natural advantages we have in our markets without getting help from those who know the terrain. You know, we've talked a great deal about the fact that by the very nature of who we are in our communities, we have a natural advantage over other banks. That being said, every army has to have alliances with those that know the terrain. And let's face it, most community banks don't know the fintech terrain like we need to. And that's fine. We can't be everywhere all the time, but we can use partners. We can take the time to work with those who have already been through the highs and lows of the fintech terrain in which we find ourselves today. I think you'll find most fintechs view their role in the exact same manner. And y'all, this allows us to compete. This allows you to secure the advantage, maybe even grow it, that you have in your markets. So if your bank is slow to adapt digital, or maybe even do it begrudgingly, just shift your point of view. You're not inviting in danger if you're going about it the right way. What you're going to find is that you've got a mutually beneficial alliance, and from your perspective, you're gaining the advice from someone who A, wants to help you, and B, has had the experience in the field that is of actual value to you. So bankers, keep your view. You're doing great. Keep on learning, keep on growing, and keep your eyes focused on whatever it is success looks like for you and your team. Well, that wraps up our episode for today. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss out on the latest episode. We'd also appreciate a 5-star rating as well, as that will help get the content out to more listeners. We appreciate ICBA Securities for their sponsorship, and if you would like to know more about quality investment products, services, and education at competitive prices, check out their website at icbasecurities.com. And finally, if you don't follow Barrett on our social media platforms, be sure to check us out on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook to stay up to date with all the cool new things that we've got coming up. And as always, from Memphis, Tennessee, the home of banking, blues, and barbecue, thanks again for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.